When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
Hello everybody, welcome to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. My name is Marcus Speller.
My name is Jim Campbell.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Welcome, one and all, to the wonderfully named preview show. It's Friday. It's a good Friday. It's a very good Friday. It's the goodest of all the Fridays, and I'm feeling fine. The sun is out. Another beautiful day in the kingdom, but we're all indoors, chaps, are we not?
The only thing harder than doing this would be doing it outside. So I had to stay indoors. I've completely forgot it's Easter, but thanks for the reminder.
It'll be Feaster at some people's homes, but mind you, you know, careful, you don't want to go to the supermarket much. If you've got food deliveries, then you're a step ahead, of course.
I would imagine, though, for a lot of people, including people in my home who generally have been working from home, this is very, very welcome to be at home but not actually be working. So, well done, you guys.
Yeah. Jim, you'll be up on the balcony, will you, at some point, I expect?
I would imagine so, yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you're on Essex
couple
Road,
of tinnies, couple of thinly veiled barbs at pedestrians.
Yeah, they're not even that thin anymore because I know they can't come to get me.
Tops off, thrown cans at them.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, they should be inside anyway, shouldn't they, to be fair?
Yeah, exactly.
I suppose I could abuse the people in the queue at Sainsbury's, which is across the road from where I live.
Now you're talking.
But I might need a megaphone. So, yeah, more to come on that one.
If it were me, I'd be shouting down at them, "Oi, chuck us up a sandwich. Oi." And then I'd chuck down the money. It's safer, isn't it? If you disinfect the money and chuck it down, then get them to disinfect the sandwich and chuck it up. You love it. You haven't got to leave the balcony, Jim.
You are assuming a lot of knowledge and cooperation on the part of whoever happens to be walking by, though, aren't you?
Yeah, but I mean, you could probably shame them into it. We're supposed to be like banding together in these difficult times. Get someone downstairs, Jim, to throw you up a battered sausage.
Yeah, I could do that.
Oh, I'd love a battered sausage right now. The fish and chip shop below me is very much not open at the moment. The only two things that are open on my street is a bagel shop and a Taiwanese bubble tea shop. Now, I can take the bagel shop because that's feeding the people who are working on the building sites around me. But Taiwanese bubble tea shop, I don't think we need tapioca pearls right now.
Pete, it stayed open for you, Peter. That's why it's open.
Exactly. Yeah, I think Marcus is right. The people of this Taiwanese bubble tea shop have gone, you know, only essential things can be open in Soho. And we know that Pete lives around here and that he doesn't eat like a normal human. So best stay open just in case.
There was a bubble tea shop a lot nearer me on the corner near Harmony, the sex shop, that said that used to do delicious bubble tea, and I stopped going there because one of the people who worked at the shop said, "I'll handle this order. He's a regular." So I didn't want to be known as a regular in a bubble tea shop, and I never darkened their doors again.
I thought you were going to say you go in there in a disguise now. You sort of change it up.
There are a list of shops that pizza regular in, and I'll tell you them right now, right?
That shop there,
the Chinese across the road that he goes to every Sunday night, and God rest its soul, Maplin's.
Maplin's.
Yeah. Hey, I tell you what, in these troubled times where obviously Amazon and other companies are prioritising food and essentials, medical gear and stuff like that, oh, it's hard to get electronics equipment, guys. It really is. Microphones are at a premium.
Pete, when you receive deliveries, Pete, do they just leave it in the courtyard for you and then you go out and get it?
That's my mum and dad's house, and you know that, Marcus.
I believe we're still on a mailing list for a shop in Soho called Prowler because of, let's say, a prop that you bought for our tour.
Oh, right, okay. I don't think we actually bought that in Prowler. We actually bought that in Harmony, which is like a big box kind of high street chain of sex shops. Prowler's more fetish wear, mailing sexy list, t-shirts. And, well, I don't know. Somebody probably just got involved and hilariously sent us a gay interest mailing list email.
At this point, right, so we're about 5 minutes in, and newer listeners to the show will be like, there's no football on, so this is what I'm talking about that. Regular listeners to the show will not have noticed a scrap of difference.
No. Yeah, that's probably fair. Absolutely not. Well, speaking of prowlers, Alexander Seferin has said he believes...
Did you say that?
He believes... fill in the blanks. Liverpool will be crowned champions no matter what happens. He said if they manage to finish the season, they'll win the title, of course. But he went on to say that if it could not be played, it would be necessary to announce the results in some way. And he said, I don't see a scenario in which that would not be Liverpool as champions. It's funny how everybody's interest...
Can I just ask, Marcus? Sorry to cut in, but is that a deep fake purported by the people at the Anfield Rap?
I like that he said he believes Liverpool will be crowned champions. No one's really thought of that yet. If we all just believe, then maybe we can finish the season.
Well, I think that everyone's interests eventually will bubble to the surface. And he's thinking about European places for next season because he's the head of UEFA. And so therefore the Champions League, Europa League are his priorities. And so he's thinking, well, we need to announce the results. We need everybody to know that they have qualified, they're not. And that will give me a far smoother headache, if you can have such a thing, a smooth headache.
I think he's probably thinking, this job is the attraction to this job for me is that I have a couple of meetings, do the occasional press conference,
eat a lot of lunches, food,
stay in like nice hotels. This stuff that's happened is not anything that I signed up for. I'm not interested. I don't want to do any of that kind of stuff, and it's hard. So how can I get out of this job as quickly as possible? Much like Pete approaches the ramble.
Right.
Okay. Oh, that's naughty. That's naughty.
Is that fair? I don't think it is, actually.
Liverpool's owners, of course, came under a bit of scrutiny recently when they decided to furlough staff. But they've reversed that decision, of course, after public pressure. No word from Spurs at Newcastle on that point. And reports suggest that Mike Ashley has no plans to change his mind.
No. This puke is not for turning.
Whenever has he sort of changed? I mean, if he's put up with so much treatment for, 13 years in charge of Newcastle, whatever it is, that this is hardly going to bother him, is it?
Both Mike Ashley and Daniel Levy just don't care what people think of them, do they? Like, neither of them care, even remotely, if something they do is perceived to look quite bad. So I'm not really surprised by that. But Ashley's in his holiday home in Miami, isn't he? I just love the thought of that. Can you imagine the state of that house? Imagine how tacky that is.
It'd be like that episode of Only Fools and Horses when Del and Rodney go to Florida. And then there's that gangland got kingpin who's played also by David Jason in that massive sort of marble mansion.
God, I've not seen that episode.
Pete hates it. It's Pete's most hated show, so he's not going to have seen it.
Oh. Is this late on when they've run out of ideas?
No.
David Jason was playing two characters, so I'll let you be the judge.
Yeah, but that's quite crucial to the plot, though.
Yeah, true.
And and that's the genius of it, I think you'll find. They went, well, this is going to have to happen. I mean, yeah, both Spurs and Newcastle. I mean, Spurs fans in particular. I mean, Newcastle fans, sadly, this doesn't surprise them, whereas Spurs fans seem to be particularly disappointed.
Yeah.
A couple of my close friends are Tottenham fans, and one of them I spoke to on the phone the other day, and he said he's so upset about it that for the first time ever, and he supported them his whole life, but the first time ever, he actually was moved to write a letter to the club saying, wow, this is really shameful, I'm really embarrassed about this, and you should rethink. Now, I'm not suggesting that that's going to change anything, but it does show you the depth of feeling that people are experiencing around this issue. I think, regardless of whether Levy and Joe Lewis at the top of the club care or not, it is a hugely, hugely misjudged move, and really has completely misunderstood how the depth of feeling in the UK about what everyone's going through at the moment. And some things mean more than the actual, just, you know, the literal interpretation of them, and have a much bigger gravitas and a much bigger effect. And I'm wondering whether this is going to be one of those things, because the reaction was so negative. It was almost like, God, you've got no choice but to U-turn immediately. But whether they will or not, I don't know. And Liverpool obviously did do that, and good on them. But at the same time, should they really have done it in the first place? I suppose we have to applaud them for listening, at least, to the mood music. But I don't know if Spurs or Newcastle will.
Yeah, well, at least Liverpool got there in the end.
Yeah, well, to play devil's advocate, I mean, a lot of these people who are involved in Liverpool, a lot of these people are involved in Newcastle and all of the football teams in the Premier League have different business interests. For example, Sports Direct. I mean, obviously, Mike Ashley will be availing himself of some of the responsibility using the same government schemes in that part of his business. Why does a front-facing community so-called club have different rules than another situation? It takes leadership from the government, I think, on this particular occasion. It is distasteful, it is disgraceful, but at the end of the day, the businessmen are there to look after the club financially. It's you know my feelings on which side of the spectrum I come on when it comes to capitalism versus socialism. So I think in many ways, I think it's just more populist politics for me. I don't buy it. I don't think it particularly helps anyone to get wound up about how footballers conduct their affairs or how football clubs conduct their affairs. But that said, if the Premier League footballers are willing to give away a fair chunk of their wages to the NHS and to other great causes, then I think the groundswell has to be, well, the football clubs themselves have to treat their staff in the same way.
But Pete, I don't understand why it would need to be a political led movement or a government in, you know, sort of diktat to tell people to do the right thing. I mean, the idea is, if you take the Liverpool example, Liverpool have traded, for want of a better word, on this spirit of Bill Shankly kind of idea of a community and idea of socialism, and there's that famous quote about what Bill Shankly says socialism represents. And the reason that it was felt so keenly in the Liverpool case is because this flew in the face of what they consider to be their tradition, and so it was changed. Like Mike Ashley's tradition and the way he's conducted himself over the years is, you know, by many measures, has obviously been appalling, whatever side of business whatever side of his businesses you're talking about. But I don't necessarily think that it should be led from the government to tell
businessmen will only do as much as they are forced to do. That's always how it is, and we're always disappointed.
Not every businessman is the same, so that's not true.
Well, it is true, like in the grand scheme of things, when it comes to tax avoidance and things like that. That's exactly how they'll only be as good as the slowest person. Okay. I think generally is the way that the government allow them to behave. Yeah, there are some more socially responsible, more charitable stakeholders in clubs and stuff. And I think in this case, yes, Liverpool do have a case that if you're going to sell yourself as a community club, and to be honest, the way that they sort of extended Anfield a few years back and how they sort of conduct their affairs in the past, I would argue they're not a community club, and they've proved themselves not to be, but they keep selling themselves. All right, this p- Potemkin village of responsibility that they've set up, I think is a bit of a joke personally. But I think that they need. I'm a little bit tired of this kind of like football, because it's such a kind of populist kind of a popular kind of sport. They have to be more responsible than, I don't know, a rugby club or an NFL club or any other kind of business in the UK. I don't really understand it. And there needs to be more of a diktat from, say, the Premier League, from, say, the government. I don't. They're only as good as the government allows them to be, in my opinion, in this case, anyway.
Yeah. Well, I hear what you're saying, Pete, and agree with you for the most part. I would love to get your comments on the apparent news that Ashley is in talks to sell the club for a reported $340 million if the Amanda Staveley-fronted Saudi Arabian consortium can stump up the cash. Do you have a fresh take on that?
I mean, just cut out the bit of audio where we spoke about it 3 months ago, and then 3 months before that, and then 3 months before that.
That's admin, isn't it? Can you just do it again?
Yeah, yeah.
It's probably not going to happen. If it does, it's not ideal. Yeah. And also, it's not going to happen. Goodbye.
Yeah, I mean, these talks, they're ongoing, aren't they? They sort of never ends, really.
It's stunning to me that that they don't even seem to be deterred from the very fact that football isn't even happening at the moment.
Yeah, maybe try and knock a bit off the price. You're not even operating at the moment. But anyway, we look forward to the next update on that. Did you see Jose Mourinho got himself in a bit of bother recently?
I love this. Yeah. I absolutely love this. Carry on, Marcus, but I'm sure we all know where this is going.
Well, he held a personal training session with Tanguy Ndombele in a public park.
So funny.
I love it. Well, I don't love it, actually. That's irresponsible behaviour. But I love the thought of Tanguy Ndombele like wheeling out a laundry basket with him. And then Jose popping up and then popping in the basket when the police turn up.
I love the thought of Luke Shaw being sat at home thinking, rather you than me, mate.
Yeah, I love the idea of the police having absolutely no trouble catching Tongi and Ndombele at all. He's run away. It's all right. Don't worry about it. Give it 5 seconds.
Yeah. I'm picturing like a Benny Hill style thing of them chasing him for
a really short one.
Yeah. Apparently, Davinson Sanchez and Ryan Sessegnon were seen running side by side in a separate session. So we have to take people's words for that. But Serge Aurier filmed himself on Instagram running alongside a friend of his. I assume he doesn't live with this person. It's like,
exactly.
Serge, come on.
If they share the household and it's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Who knows?
Exactly.
They might.
Well, speaking of Spurs players, Spurs have confirmed that Song Hyun Min will complete his 4-week military service. In South Korea, this is one of the greatest names for some sort of body or organization I've ever heard. In South Korea, the body that handles conscription issues is the Military Manpower Administration.
Love that.
Pete Donaldson, do you come across the Military Manpower Administration in Soho in central London?
Well, I like the... wasn't Manpower a temp agency?
Yeah, it was.
For a while. Yeah, I remember Manpower. Manpower! Yeah, so maybe it's a little bit like that, just kind of hired guns.
Pete, you're probably more of the Party Manpower Administration, aren't you, when you're in that part of the world?
I like the separation. I'd like to separate the word man from power. I just think that sentence would read way more beautifully.
Yeah, well, his 4 weeks will include discipline education. Sounds very military manpower to me. Combat drills and a chemical, biological and radiological and nuclear exercise. So cram it all into 4 weeks and he'll be ready for battle.
Yeah, they don't normally do the discipline section, but they watched him against Chelsea. he needs a bit of a dose of that, so we'll get him on that bit.
Well played, Jack.
Imagine he comes back from his military service, got to serve a 3-match ban somehow. It's like, what have you done? How'd you get sent off?
Right, well, certainly I, and I'm sure maybe a few others in this podcast have been enjoying the chat in Scotland about who the title should go. Well, not who the title should go. Should Celtic be given the title? Blah, 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 blah. Well, Scottish football's
kill
been Nocky. Suspended.
It's got to go to Kilnocky.
It's got to go to Kilnocky.
We were watching Scottish Cup action at the week on Monday, weren't we? So
in a way,
the league's still happening up there, I think.
Yeah. Well, Scottish football, despite that, Peter, has been suspended. All football in Scotland has been suspended until at least the 10th of June. Now, the Scottish Professional Football League clubs are going to vote on whether to finish the professional leagues that are below the Scottish Premiership. now so that those leagues would be called early, a bit like in Belgium. So they're going to keep the top flight because I think they realise how much, you know, how much of, you know, I suppose moaning and fighting and so on that would cause. But this could see, if the motion is passed, this would see Dundee United promoted to the top flight and Partick Thistle relegated. Now, Rangers have criticised this motion, saying clubs would be unfairly relegated, which is a fair point. They've also put forward the motion to the SPFL to allow prize money to be released early to help clubs that are struggling financially, which I think is probably a good idea. But Rangers released a statement saying Rangers firmly believe that the 2019-20 season is only complete when all 38 games have been played to a finish. And they are quite clearly making sure that Celtic aren't handed the title. And if the fixtures cannot be fulfilled in the top flight, then the season will be null and void. They've finally spoken. Hearts have supported Rangers on this motion, as do Partick, unsurprisingly. So,
yeah,
should we have a vote? I like the thought of clubs campaigning. You know, there's not much on TV at the moment. There's a political broadcast by the Rangers Football Club.
You know what I think would be quite a nice way to decide this? And in fact, the more I think about it,
referendum.
Every situation that is going on in football and all of the various conundrums on what needs to be decided to finish seasons or not finish seasons is you get Eamon Dumphy, Graham Souness, a few others of the big hitters, and you have one of those RTE things where they row about football for so long, you get Roy Keane in there as well, that it cuts into the next programme. And just that until decisions have been reached, I think.
No, because Keane's a Celtic man, isn't he? It's Keane and Souness arguing whether Celtic should be given the title or it should be null and void.
Well, you get some Rangers people in there as well, but then you move on to other leagues. I'm thinking more for the Premier League for Keane.
And then after half an hour or so, Graham Souness just starts ranting about Paul Pogba. which one does Pogba play for? None of them, Graham.
Nah. Yeah, exactly. We're not talking about Paul Pogba because he's not a championship winning player.
Is it going to be a situation where like Inter and Calciopoli and stuff are like where they are convinced that they won that season even though it was taken off them at the, and there's just going to be that kind of like...
Oh, Juventus.
And like they're going to be convinced that they won the league when they had it and stuff like that. It's just going to be one of those. Just going to be one of those situations where stars get sewn onto badges that don't need to be.
I don't think Neil Lennon doesn't tend to antagonise people, so he probably wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I think the whole thing will be resolved with maturity and a measured sense of...
That's one thing we can guarantee across the board when it comes to football. It'll be done in an adult, professional, not at all controversial way. Yep. And nobody, I repeat, nobody will be trying to get an advantage for an underhand tactic.
Absolutely. There's a lot of, when it comes to the Old Firm, there's a lot of level heads. I think we can all agree.
100%.
Let's have a Ronaldinho update. He's been released from prison in Paraguay on bail and is under house arrest. So he's isolating in a hotel, we assume.
Like Junior Soprano. He's going to end up just going to loads of funerals because that's the only reason he's allowed to leave the house.
Yeah. He's actually played this fairly well, isn't he?
Well, his brother turned up. I think it was his brother turned up with the $1.6 million bail money. Lionel Messi had to take to Instagram to deny rumours suggesting that he paid that money. Where did that come from? I absolutely love that.
But that's weird.
Well, he's in a hotel in Asuncion awaiting his trial, so we shall see what happens there. But Ronaldinho is out the prison and he's in to his natural surrounding, a hotel room. So that's... good news for him, I suppose. Did you see a couple of his former teammates? Ronaldo, Roberto Carlos, Luis Figo, Iker Casillas, and old Davey Beckham all had a catch-up on a group video chat the other day. Did you see this?
No.
I'd love to have stumbled upon that just by typing a random number into Zoom.
Yeah, exactly. You could imagine that the conversation free-flowing from Portuguese into Spanish with those lot, and Beckham turns up. All right. How you doing?
He speaks Spanish. Don't be rude.
Can he?
Yeah. Oh, I've seen him
said that thing to that linesman that time, didn't he?
Petty.
Yeah, he did. Ronaldo thanked Bex for all the balls he gave him while playing together. And David thanked Ronaldo for making him feel comfortable at the club from the off. That was the only takeaway.
So it doesn't sound like a private conversation, does it? It just sounds like one for the cameras.
Basically, Pete, that's the only takeaway that I could get from it.
It's what we imagine as like 9-year-olds, how footballers would talk to each other.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks for all the balls that you sent me. Yes, cheers, Steve.
Do you remember all the goals we done?
Yeah, we've done so many goals together. We did some tackles as well.
Yeah. Ronaldo speaks, well, his English is pretty good, I believe, nowadays, because he sort of studied over here for a bit and so on and so forth. But he did speak a bit of English back in the day, but he'd never let on because he couldn't be bothered doing interviews and whatnot with English or, you know, American or whatever, camera, TV channels and so on and so forth, so...
I think he speaks English as a talking head in the More Than a Manager Bobby Robson documentary.
And yeah, when I
first saw that, I didn't know he spoke English, and I was very surprised. It was really interesting to see him speak English.
It's like, I remember the first time, it's a bit different, we may have mentioned this before, but seeing Christian Vieri speak English, you're like, oh, he's Australian, he's not Italian.
Yeah, he's got a brilliant English, he's got a brilliant accent, hasn't he? Yeah,
he does, yeah.
Back in the day, I remember in... I think it might be World Soccer Magazine, and they'd have an interview with a player from, you know, obviously overseas or whatever. And they would always ask him who their hero was. And if you had, like, I don't know, you know, I'm making this up, but say you saw an interview with someone, an Italian player, and they'd say, oh, my hero is Fabio Capello or Carlo Ancelotti or Arrigo Sacchi or something. And Christian Vieri said, who is your hero? And he said, Alan Border. He's like an Australian opening batsman. Yeah. And I had no idea who he was. And I had to ask my dad. And they was like, what the hell? And it's because he grew up in Australia, right?
Mm. Should have chosen Merv Hughes.
Yeah, the big tash. The big tash.
Indeed. All right, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to now go for a quick break.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to OSEAMalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.
Welcome back to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. Luke, what's happening over at the Patreon?
Yeah, another show, another Patreon update from me. Thank you very much for everyone who signed up. It's a lot of fun over there. The Discord is popping off. There's access to shows you wouldn't have access to otherwise, including a mailbag presented by that man there, Marcus Speller. Hi. Including a Ramble On, an extra show that we do just for our Patreon subscribers. And I imagine not many people have got much going on at the moment. So if you need extra recreational activity, you can listen to extra shows. It's patreon.com/footballrambledaily. We very much appreciate your support. So get yourself over there and join the others who have done so, who we love more than the others that haven't. That's not true. Thank you for listening to us in whatever guise you've done so. But it's patreon.com/footballrambledaily.
Here we are. And now it's time for emails with PDD.
You email show at footballrambledaily.com. And now PDD's reading it out. Well done.
It is time for emails with me. Me, ED.
PT me.
but before we start, actually, we've got a message from a person we kind of heard from on Monday. And here he is, Mr. Ali McCoist.
How are we doing, guys? Yeah, I must admit, when I first got asked to do be in the film A Shot at Glory, I thought it was a wind-up. But then the whole experience was absolutely fantastic. And I look back on it with tremendous fondness and think about all the fun we had. I mean, when you think about it, really, when you're working with, for example, Robert De Niro, who, you know, when you think the Godfather, he was in True Grit and, you know, some fantastic movies. It really was amazing. And Brian Cox was in it, and it was wonderful. It really was. Michael Keaton as well. But I think the one thing that I remember about the whole film more than anything was the camaraderie we had amongst all the boys in the film. Obviously, it was a football film, and the camaraderie we had with all the lads. A lot of lads played with Airdrie, a lot of teams in and around Lanarkshire and Glasgow, and some of them obviously threw in Fife as well. But what a time we had. It was absolutely fantastic.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Quite steep.
He just seems like such a lovely fella, doesn't he?
He loves a bit of camaraderie. When he says, oh, good laugh with the boy. It's everywhere he goes, camaraderie.
Yeah. I think I was just a brand of 80s booze. So thank you very much to Ali for that. We're not going to be hearing from Soccer Dog on Thursday's show.
You'd ruin that. You just get any dog. Fuck.
But we live in hope. Hello to Luke Morgan, who got in touch a little earlier on this week. Hello, gents. Reliving the euphoria of a shot at glory got me thinking on the topic of open-top bus parades for runners-up. In my opinion, there can be no greater example than of the Vietnamese under-23s. In early 2018, this plucky young team put an ever-underachieving nation on the football map in the AFC under-23 championships in China. Scraping through their group on 4 points, they pipped Australia to the quarters and subsequently beat both Iraq and Qatar on penalties to reach the final. In a godforsaken near-empty stadium in Shangzhou, they faced Uzbekistan. Not only were these Central Asian man-mountains double their height, but these group of lads from the likes of the Mekong Delta were subject to a snowstorm fit for the Yukon. It looks amazing from the pictures that he sent. Mm. Despite forcing extra time and looking set for one more penalty-based fairy tale, the Uzbeks popped up with a headed winner in the 120th minute. One could not move for love nor money across Vietnam cities as the streets became paralysed with flag-bearing motorbikes and entire households head-to-toe in red. Basically, England winning the World Cup times 1,000. The returning heroes cruised 30 kilometres of chock-a-block Hanoi roads atop their repurposed sightseeing bus, taking so long to navigate the adoring crowds that the Prime Minister had to wait 5 hours to greet them.
This is amazing. It's
amazing. The pictures are fantastic. Check them out on YouTube. Images of the team celebrating their equaliser in the cascading snow have made their way into Vietnamese folklore, triggering an unprecedented surge in interest and pride of the domestic game that continues to this day. And all of this because of an under-23 team. They didn't even win anything. Thank you for that, Luke.
That's so good because, as you say, it is an under-23 side. I love the fact that a nation can be galvanised around something like that. But most people think, well, it's not that good. But if there's any sort of flicker of joy to be had, people can amplify it. It's great.
England won the under-17s World Cup and no one gave a shit.
Yeah, I did.
Give them their bus.
Marcus did. Marcus had a little parade in his own, didn't you, Marcus?
Yeah.
You followed their Addison Lees around London.
I had a parade when Jeremy Bates reached the fourth round of Wimbledon.
Mike has got in touch. Hello, Mike Gibson. Well, do you have a shout by Jim on Monday's show about the Gareth Bale clone who was in the Spurs Youth Academy a few years ago? I must have missed this on Monday's show, Jim. He said he hadn't thought about him in years and I couldn't even remember his name. Do you remember even talking about this Gareth Bale clone?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
You were on the show, mate.
Yeah, I know.
But, I actually can't remember it myself.
My sleeping patterns are very weird.
Yeah.
To jog your memory, he's called Kenny McAvoy, and he's currently playing for Midland League Premier Division South team Normanton Athletic. So safe to say, his similarity with Gareth only goes so far, but perhaps he's good at golf. Mike.
I wonder if he still looks like him.
Yeah, good point. Let's do a cursory Google post show. This is from Elliot Saunders. Hi, Ramblers. Wasn't sure if you were aware of this, but I thought if not, it was crucial that I informed you that Danny Ings is or was an amazing dancer. Are you guys familiar with this?
No.
There is a video of him dancing as a youngster at Bournemouth. He's like 18 or 19, and he is one snazzy mover. I'll send Charlie the link. He'll get up on the Twitter. Imagine Ingsy netting the last minute winner against Germany in the final of the Euros and pulling out this number. Absolute scenes. It is well worth checking out. He can dance. Proper, like, robot-y, kind of jarring, kind of crazy, kind of cool dancing.
Cool dancing. Love it.
Pete, how would you rate his dancing when compared to your dancing?
Mine's a little bit more static. I'm scanning the room for threats. Yeah. If you want to go to the show, as always, it's show at Football Ramble. Let me squeeze in this one from Alistair. I thought you might appreciate some notes from the front line of A Shot at Glory. The football scenes were filmed by inviting fans to attend and make up the crowd, so I am there in the stadium when they play Kilmarnock, having the utterly bizarre experience of watching Robert Duvall from my season ticket seat. The plum roll, which I didn't manage to get, was being one of the Kilnockie fans, which got you a crisp £20 note in your back pocket. Ooh, it's quite difficult to explain how boring the whole experience was. Nothing takes the Hollywood sheen off faster than watching actual rubbish professional footballer Andy Smith try and fail about 50 times to score a choreographed goal. Love the day out, though. And I've still got the ticket that they printed up for the occasion. Alistair Mitchell in Glasgow. Thank you for that. Shotfootballrambledaily.com if you want to get in touch.
Lovely old job. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Time Tunnel.
Ooh. Well, so exciting, isn't it, Pete? I believe you chose the Time Tunnel episode this week, and that will become abundantly clear to our listeners when you tell us which one it is.
the show in question had a rather strange title, and when I first read it, I was like, I can't really place this, to be honest. But Newcastle United would have been taking on West Ham this weekend, but another memorable meeting late in the season, a few seasons ago, between the two teams was the 24th of May 2015, when post cancer Jonas Gutierrez helped keep Newcastle up on the final day of the season. Yes. So we're going for the one that came out a couple of days after that. It was called Cubicle Politics, we sounded like we're having a blooming good time. We said goodbye to loads of footballers because a lot of players were retiring or certainly leaving England anyway. Players like Didier Drogba, I think Frank Lampard retired on that day as well. It was a big, big show.
I think the reason it's called Cubicle Politics, I think, is because it is the episode, Marcus, where you famously did something a little bit naughty. Is that fair?
No, it wasn't naughty. It was pragmatic. Enlighten us, Marcus.
Yes, Pete and I went to the playoff final, which Norwich won 2-0. Middlesbrough lost out. And before the game, Pete and I were in the Middlesbrough end. And before the game, we were rushing to get to our seats before the kickoff. And of course, the toilets, as they often are in football stadiums, were chock-a-block. And there was a large, intimidating man from Middlesbrough who was ahead of me in the queue for the toilets. And he went in the cubicle and said, well, come on, just come on in. I'm not going to look at your willy, am I, or something. And so I pissed in the same bowl at the same time with a large man from Middlesbrough. I remember making a comment, as one does as an awkward Englishman in those kind of situations.
Ooh, yeah, big one.
It wasn't far off, B. It was, I think I said, oh, you've been storing that up, haven't you?
Marcus.
Yeah.
It's great. Classic. It's a classic ramble moment.
It was, and then Pete, I told Pete what happened because I just needed a hug and somebody to calm me down and tell me everything's okay. And Pete said, you've just been piss jousting, haven't you? And it was at the time when I think Pete was going on about piss jousting. I don't know if that was your yoghurt phase as well, Peter.
From the Newcastle game itself, Pete, where they beat West Ham 2-0 to stay up, I think the big Moose scored the goal as well, didn't he, in that game?
He did. Yes. He opened the scoring. So it's not technically true that Jonas Gutierrez came back from testicular cancer to a club that tried to farm him out, and you know, he didn't have the greatest of respect for Mike Ashley, as nobody does at any point in their lives, because he just tried to get rid of him at a time when he literally had cancer. The club let him down. He felt, and he came back and he scored the second. I mean, West Ham were searching for an equaliser, and nothing less than a win was going to keep Newcastle up. So Jonas Gutierrez definitely signed, sealed and delivered that one. And he went mad when he scored, as well brilliant. He should have done.
He assisted the first goal, though.
Yeah, he did.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
It was quite odd because Mike Ashley gave a rare interview before the match saying he's not going anywhere until Newcastle win something or qualify for the Champions League, if you remember.
Every time Newcastle have gone beyond their usual pale, yeah. Mike Ashley has forced it to this. That's why he came out, you know, a couple of weeks ago about Sports Direct, because he didn't realise the torrent of abuse he was getting. Sometimes it gets a little bit too much for Mike Ashley, and he's the worst man in the world.
Yeah. I think that in that season, I'm looking at the 2014-15 Premier League table here, it looks to me that Newcastle United would have stayed up anyway. They stayed up by 4 points. Now, it must have been because the other teams around them on the final day didn't win.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, but at that position, I believe in that match, it was a situation at the start of the match, certainly, nothing else would secure not being relegated. So, you know, it would have been in someone else's hand.
Yeah. You got to play your part.
Yeah. You got to play your part. Got to get Jonas in there.
John Carver was in charge of Newcastle back in those days.
He was, yeah. He was.
Yeah. Didn't he claim to be the best manager in the league at one point?
I believe so, yeah.
He said some silly things. The Sam Allardyce's departure from West Ham was announced at half-time during that game on the club's website.
Bloody hell.
Nice. Yeah. And on the same day, Stevie Bruce's Hull got relegated.
No.
Yeah. But it was interesting, though, because I put in the running order Leicester City 5, QPR 1, marvellous end of the season for Leicester. Of course, Leicester went on that winning run, didn't they, under Nigel Pearson, and finished fairly comfortably in the Premier League. And, of course, the next season they'd go on to win it, wouldn't they?
I sure would.
I'd also like to point out that... On that episode, we popped a Ligue 1 in France because Harvey Renard was back in the big leagues, appointed Lille manager.
How did that work out for him?
He didn't go very well, did it?
He was sacked months later. I've also put this, and I'm just going to read this verbatim, let's call the whole thing off. Highlights of the week. Fenerbahce having four players sent off. We spoke about Hearts having four men sent off. Well, Fenerbahce did. This reminded me of this. They were 2-0 down with 9 minutes to go and equalised when down to 10 men through Webbo. They poured men forward but were caught on the break, so Bruno Alves committed a foul and was sent off for denying a goal-scoring chance. Another was sent off for dissent. The penalty was missed and then Webbo kicked someone in the head. So yeah,
on that Harvey Renard thing, so you're right, you're absolutely right to say that he was given the job as manager of Lille in May. So in that week, in November he was sacked, and yeah. that's quick anyway, but if you bear in mind that at least 2.5 of those months there's no football being played, yeah. That is super.
Yeah, he's an international manager, isn't he? He's one to be wheeled out for a big tournament.
That'll
be part of the furniture there.
Yeah,
he's he was most recently seen. In fact, he still is managing Saudi Arabia now, isn't he?
Oh, is that right? No, there we are. That's a good time tunnel, that one. Lovely,
yeah,
bit
absolutely.
Bit of Jonas Gutierrez, indeed. Right, ladies and gentlemen, now it's time for the Masked Winger.
Who's under there, under the mask? Let's see if we can figure it out. Let's see if we can figure it out. It's the Masked Winger.
It is time for the Masked Winger. How the devil are you? It's good to have you back. Now, it's a little bit more going for Glauld than Masked Winger, so don't worry about the whole winger. I'm basically letting you know that he was a bit of a striker on this particular situation.
Spoiler.
Well, you know, thank you very much to Matthew Lomas, who him and a couple of mates passed by an hour of isolation, just an hour, by playing our very own game of Going for Glauld / Masked Winger, whichever you prefer, via video chat. I'm enjoying that Going for Glauld / Masked Winger is getting people through their isolation, which is just lovely to hear. First clue, guys, mystery footballer. I was born on the 5th of October, 1984.
Marcus. Webbo.
Ha ha ha. No. I appeared in the Premier...
Adrian Mutu.
It wasn't Adrian Mutu. I will not count that as this clue because latency. I appeared in the Premier League 195 times, scoring 40 times.
Luke. Is it Christian Benteke?
It's not Christian Benteke.
Oh, I played for nice.
I played for a total of 7 clubs in England before leaving in 2015 to play in the UAE, United States, and back in my home country.
Luke. Emmanuel Adebayor.
It's not Emmanuel Adebayor.
Jim. Shefki Kuki.
No, no, but lovely to hear that, man. I played for my country in the 2006 World Cup where we lost 2-0 to England. Come on, Spelzy.
Spelzy's all over that.
Okay, well, I'll open it up to everybody. It's someone from Trinidad and Tobago.
All right. In 2007, my manager said I was another Didier Drogba in the making.
Stop. Sorry, Jim. Stern John?
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
Stop, Jim. Stern John. It's not Stern John, no.
But I'm glad I didn't.
Hey, Luke. Is it... what's his name? Ricardo Gardner?
What's his name? It could be a nom de plume of this particular game, but no, it isn't. No, it isn't him.
I can't see. Sorry.
3 months later, after being told that I was another Didier Drogba in the making, I went on strike, forcing through a move to Sunderland.
Oh.
That's weird.
Later on in my career, I was involved in a swap deal for Peter Odemwingie.
I've got nothing.
Oh, Luke, it has to be what's his name? The geezer who got in trouble in the dressing room. Kenwyn Jones.
Ah, there you go.
It's Kenwyn Jones.
Yeah, oh, well played. Well played.
Lukey Moore. Between 2005 and 2014, I exclusively turned up for clubs that play in red and white stripes. Enjoyable.
Yeah. Mm. He was actually decent for like a very short period of time.
He was. Yeah, he crossed my mind, but I thought he would have scored more than that, which is obviously folly.
How many goals did you score? Is it saying, Rachel?
It's down the bottom of the page. 40 in 195 in the Premier League. So I guess Premier League goal rather than else.
Yeah, I kind of block it out of my system because he played for Southampton for so long. So it's kind of acknowledge it really.
Yeah, it's like a handicap. Like if we have a Southampton player, you've got to kind of have you got to start 2 clues down.
I have to go to a different part of my mind palace.
Indeed.
Where the bad people are.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, if people want to get involved in the Masked Winger, what should they do?
Well, they can message me on the email address that probably doesn't make much sense nowadays, glold@footballrambledaily.com. That's glold@footballrambledaily.com.
I love the idea that one of our listeners has decided to submit a player for the Masked Winger, famously a game for wingers. It's not a winger. His mates probably took the piss out of him, and then you've just done it anyway.
His title was going for Glold Clues, so you can't. As I said, I gave you fair warning.
You got a box on your head. It doesn't count as canon anyway.
I've literally got a box on my head. I have. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. We've reached the end of the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. A quick reminder that we shall be reviewing Soccer Dog European Cup. That is the second Soccer Dog film for Pete's Film Club on Monday.
Got a DM from somebody on Twitter saying, I'm watching Soccer Dog 2 European... Is it European Cup? Yeah.
Yeah,
missed the opportunity to say European Pop. And I hate you. So there's a lot of people not enjoying listening to the ramble at the moment because the films are chef's kiss.
Yeah. Easter Sunday as well. Easter Sunday, the Sundayest of Sundays. That's when I'm going to watch it, and I know I'm going to hate it.
You're damn right.
It's a good Easter film. You used to watch bad films in the afternoon on Easter Sunday. It works for me.
Did I? Why do you know that? That's weird.
By the way, Jim, your tolerance is so low that you are going to do what you did on Monday and completely fill it a shot at glory. You are no going to enjoy Soccer Dog 2.
You went to see David Icke perform, so I'm not having that.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, is he
very
in it?
Different though, isn't it?
Well, it's still a torturous affair. So
it's very true. It was. It was very long as well. It was very, very long. More on that next week. It was 9 hours long, Marcus. It was 9 hours. And after 6 hours, there was no talk of lizards at all. And me and
That's
my friend I went with
for.
Thought, ah, yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, me and my friend were like, oh no, we might have let ourselves in for a silly situation here. But he talked about lizards in the final 3 hours. It was insane, as you would expect.
I love how much you love the lizard chat. You waited 6 hours for it.
Yeah, I mean, it was quite naive at the time. I think there is an argument that David Icke is considered by many to be a dangerous anti-Semite, which I perhaps didn't realise at the time. So, I just want to put a little disclaimer in there that I wasn't seeing David Icke because I believe anything he thinks. I was just utterly fascinated.
Yeah, well done, Jim. I hope you scratched that itch. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening. Myself and Jonathan Wilson are back tomorrow with the Greatest Games podcast, which will be a belter, let me tell you. All right, thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Yeah, tune in on Monday where we find out very much that if you lie down with soccer dogs, you get fleas.
Thank you very much, Jim Campbell.
You are welcome, Marcus.
Thanks very much, Pete Donaldson.
Roof!
And thank you, good listeners. We'll see you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.